coming to you from a galaxy best heard through headphones, it's The Adventures of The Awkward Scream!
Hello out there! You either inadvertently or advertently stumbled upon The Dazzling Deet Show, where we broadcast every time we get a chance and tell the tale of how we ended up drifting in the far wastes.
You should call the show The Adventures of the Tony Pills! Any of the guests, too, I guess.
I don't know about that, T-Pill. Let's not get sidetracked. So much has happened. You probably heard us being kicked out of the bridge by the captain last time, who may have had a little bit of a hangover at the time.
More than a little's from the looks of it.
Yeah, but I think we can understand why now. Right, Tony?
What did I do? I was merely bringing up the perfectly logical question.
Whoa, hey, yo. Back up a bit, T-Pale. We got to fill in the listeners.
Now, kids. Okay.
Yesterday, the captain finally called us to the bridge after he had kicked us off. He started his lecture by saying, "Now that we've
all had a chance to cool down and collect our thoughts, I figured it would be a good time to clear the air. These last several weeks have been more than a little hectic. And it has come to me attention that several things have taken place under me nose."
Yeah, Lutz. You shouldn't have lied to the captains like that, you big hunk of...
Quiet. These things aren't exactly the types of acts that inspire trust amongst shipmates. I know none of you have spent time aboard a professional ship, but when things go on behind the captain's back, it weakens the integrity of the entire ship and hobbles the captain's ability to make well-informed decisions.
So, all of that flying Zed did for Monty doesn't count?
That's why I said professional, Tony. Monty Spandonky is just an egotistical opportunist with his eyes set on politics. But that's beside the point. Maybe I've been a little too easy on all of you these years. Maybe this dream of mine to make me own way in the galaxy is foolish nonsense. Either way, I need everyone to come clean right here, right now. If you have anything to say, you better get it out now. Nobody? I honestly thought you all to be smarter than this. What does this say?
Spin, Janichu?
Is that a question?
No, Captain. It says Spin Janichu.
But how about this one?
It says four? Pinchonichu?
As in the number four, right?
Yes, Captain. That's what it says.
Why would it say that? You did buy this crate of Spinchonichu, right?
Yeah, Captain. Well, Tony and I bought it back on Taka Station, just like you asked.
Just like I asked.
It was me's, Captain. Marks made me use it. He's a monster. He told me to put an S in front of the Pinchanas, so I just wrote a fours because Marks is always saying my S's look like the fours.
Fives, Tony. Your S's look like fives.
Well, that actually makes more of the senses.
I knew it. As soon as I bit into those chore damn knockoffs,
9 out of 10 blind taste test me arse.
You just can't get anything straight, can you, Tony? Man, I don't even know why I bother with you sometimes.
Well, at least I didn't spin the captain's coin on some Bayesian probability potions.
It's not a Bayesian probability
What? What do you spend me coin on?
I bought some Gautanda attraction potion with mostly my coin, but the guy, like, he picked my pocket or something.
Mostly? What exactly do you need an attraction potion for, Mark?
I bought it for someone else.
Oh, Mark, you bought it for me.
No.
You're just
no,
the greatest
Tony.
Friend the guy could ever have. If we ever get out of here, we should go back to Ootskoons and go to that bar. What was it called? The fidgets or something?
It was the widget. And no, Tony, I didn't get it for you.
Whatever. Never get out of here any of the ways.
I bought it for you, Captain.
Me? Why would you think I would want or need that song oil?
I've never seen you with anybody in a romantic way.
Did you ever consider that maybe I have a mate? What do you know about me anyway? My personal life is none of your bloody business. And why the char are we talking about this? This is about you three going behind me back with your secretive little plots. And I won't stand for it anymore.
I want to offer my deepest apologies and blessings of forgiveness for what I have done. It may very well be the cause of our current situation, yet I am hopeful that we can keep the artifact out of the wrong hands.
Oh, don't worry about that, Halund. If the pirates want that damn thing so much, I'm sure as Chaw not gonna let them get it easily. But when we get out of this, there very well may be some crew changes. Now that that's out there, if nobody has anything else, we can move on to our next order of business.
I don't know if it counts, but there was a strange beeping coming from the short-range comms the other day.
Oi, the SBD.
Whoever smelt it, dealt it.
No, I think he means the smuggler's beep designation. It is a code smugglers use. Is that what the beeping is?
That's exactly what it is. But I spent the better part of the last 2 days working to decipher it. I've got the folding computer working on it now.
It could take months or years to crack that code.
Not when you have the cipher book.
You are full of surprises.
Well, that's not the only thing. There must be another ship out here, because that signal is coming from a very short distance from us.
See, Tony? It was a ship, not a garage niche.
I'll believe it when I sees it.
We still don't know there's not a monsters out there.
And hopefully we never do find out.
Yeah. I guess if it's going to attack us, I would like it to be quicks, too. Or maybe when I'm sleeping. That would be a good ways to go.
No, that's not what I meant. But, yeah. So, the captain was working like a madman these last couple of days. He heard the beeping from the comms right after he kicked us off the bridge. And since then, he's been trying to decipher this mysterious message.
If it was a ship's, why did it ram us, Max?
I don't know, Tony. That whole episode is a little foggy.
I remember it perfectly, fans. The captain said, "Brass for the Impex!" And then the monster things rammed us. The captain's ordered yous to raise the bloody of the shields.
Raise the bloody shields.
Aye, Captain.
We're all gonna be of the dangs that the grass cleats is going to kill us.
Tony, get a hold of yourself. Put the scanners on the main screen.
It looks as if there are several small targets traveling away from us.
Just a bloody asteroid, or some other flotsam. We are, after all, in the far wastes. Eventually, even Milbow will be drifting out here.
But what about the thing we says yesterday, Captains?
Like I said yesterday, Tony, it was a precautionary measure to power down non-essential systems. I don't know what I saw, and you don't either. That contact was at maximum scanner range, and full magnification on visual monitors probably distorted it more than anything. So as far as this ship and I am concerned, we don't know what we saw, and we just got hit by unidentified debris. My guess is there is little to no damage from said debris.
Comms array has been hit, but is recalibrating, and it doesn't look like there is any permanent damage, Captain.
There you go. Most likely an iridinite cluster. Low mass and widely dispersed throughout the bellwave, especially in the wastes. Do yourself and everyone else on this ship a service and stop screaming monster at every goddamn thing you see out the PVM.
Yes, aye, captains.
Like the cap said, it was probably an iridinite cluster that hit us. He knows what he's talking about. He has been roaming around space since before you and I were born.
I guess is. Mark, do you think the captains would unlock the council and let me burst the attitudes jets a few of the Tamses? I'm starting to get itchies again.
Pretty sure that's exactly why he locked the console, Tony. Besides, once he deciphers that message, we may need the attitude jets if there is another ship out here.
Who do you think's would be out here if any of the Wiz?
I'm not sure, but my guess is it's Archer. He is a former smuggler, so he'd know the code. He knows what we're carrying, and maybe he heard about what happened at Home B and came looking for us.
That guy is weird with his little antler thingies. How would he be able to fans us?
The antenna is called a Pat-Chin, and Archer does have some serious contacts and resources.
Well, he sure can't fix Hatchesses very of the goods.
I don't know, but I thought I overheard Halunt mention something about a virus he'd discovered.
I may have discovered a virus while trying to learn the origin of the beeping.
A virus? How?
I was comparing the beeping to transmissions in our database, and there were no exact matches, but the data we downloaded from LRAT-0291 seemed to be of similar encoding.
And?
And you evicted us from the bridge.
Oi, with good reason.
Indeed. And after much meditation, I ran a general system diagnostic from my quarters and I saw that pattern again. Guess which systems?
Hatch controls.
Exactly.
So we picked up a virus from LRAT-0291. So far, it's only been an inconvenience.
Yes, perhaps the screw's schematics are too hard even for the virus to read.
Archer said she was clean.
She was. I saw the low-level readouts myself.
Yeah, so what? It hid?
Possibly.
I knew there was something wrong with those stupid Hatchesses.
Yeah, but like I said, I overheard it, so it's not official yet. Anyways, the captain was telling us how when he heard the code, he recognized it right away. He started recording the signal, and then went to his quarters to search for
the cipher book that old Joa Kang gave me back in me days aboard the Crotch.
Why do you need the computer if you have the cipher book?
It's a very complicated code, and there are hundreds if not thousands of ciphers out there.
Do you have all of them in that book?
No, but I'm positive that this is one of the 9 common ciphers.
Huh. So you have the 9 common ciphers in that book?
No, but I got some of them.
How many is some, Captain?
3.
3? Oh, man.
I think 3 is as considered sufficient.
Those are indeed not favorable odds.
What is it you're always saying, Alun? About thinking positive or some chore like that? This is the only damn thing we have right now. We're bound to run out of bad luck and stumble into some good luck. Eventually.
What good is a message going to do us any of the ways?
That is an excellent question, Tony. It's only coming through on short-range comms, and is not very strong at that. Maybe we're in the vicinity of a smuggling route. If so, there is a chance a ship may be swinging through the neighborhood soon.
How do we know they won't be hostile?
We don't. And there's a good chance that they will be.
Relying on the kindness of smugglers.
Well, I spent the last week working on the nose cannon, just to keep me occupied. If there is trouble, we'll cross that bridge when and if we get there.
Then what shall we do in the meantime, Captain?
Learn how to be a crew again. It'd be a shame to miss a rescue because of simple mistakes or the inability to follow orders.
Hey!
All right, Captain.
And that's where we are. Waiting for the computer to finish with the code. So we can figure out if there's someone out here or if it's just some jettisoned goods drifting by.
Max, you forgot to tell the others thing.
You're right, Tony. After we had been running systems diagnostics for some time, we started chatting as we were starting to feel a little more like a crew again. I was telling Tony that the ladies like it when you just be yourself and show genuine interest in what they say or do.
Yeah. You can't do that with any of the Bettys, especially as one of the ladies.
I've even tried talking to anybody who isn't on this ship.
Sure. I'll talk to the controllers when we're docking, they're taking offs.
Yeah, and we all know how that goes.
Whatever. Captains, do you have some of the baddies?
Not anymore. But I did. Once.
You never told us that, Cap.
Boy, there's a reason for that.
Did she bang a slag and then run away with it?
Tony, not every female is like your mother.
Nah, I knows.
Nothing like that. But she's not around anymore just the same.
What happened?
Mark, I do not think that is an appropriate question.
No, it's okay. I suppose I need to talk about it sooner than later. And since we may not have much later left. I'm over in the market on Orun 3, in the town me parents settled in, after me father was diagnosed with gluvocoliosis. There was a harvest dance coming up, and me father convinced me to ask her to go. I was, up until then, nothing but a bumbling fool whenever the situation arose to talk with her. But I did. I asked her, when she said,
I would like that very much, Andrew.
We spent the entire dance talking. Me about space and what it was like being born on a presumed destroyed refugee ship that had been drifting for years. And her, about a certain pawn on Orion 3 and how...
When the wind kisses the surface at sunset, the reflection resembles shimmering coals of light.
Sure, I had no idea what she was talking about, but I knew I could listen to her talk all night. We were joined a year later.
I never knew you had been made whole, Andrew, Captain.
Well, I did. Or I was,
If she didn't
run away with a slug, what happens?
She begged me to follow me hard. She knew it was the only way I'd ever really be happy. Aboard her ship. The Sweaty Crotch, more specifically. My old captain, Itskid, offered me to be his first mate. Back on the only home I'd ever known. With most of the only people that I'd ever known. I wanted that position so chored damn badly. I took the position on the Crotch. She would join me in 8 months when she finished university and when we'd be back in the Oron system. We calmed when we could. Those months passed and, well, she met me at the Oron transfer station. She packed what she could and gave the rest away to friends and family. That was the best 3 years of me life. Other than me good friend and captain dying. But old Itskid went peacefully in his sleep aboard the ship he loved, surrounded by his friends, his family. I was made captain, and after a reasonable mourning period, it was business as usual. We took as many cargo jobs as we could. We even started taking passengers, because that's where all the coin was. She'd been functioning as a teacher for the crew's children, and a tour guide of sort. For passengers, she was a natural at both. We took a contract than a passenger cruiser from one of the bigger and more luxurious transport companies was unable to fulfill. The ship had some issue with life support systems. It was a pure case of right place, right time. More so we thought. Picked up around 1,500 passengers from the Dolik shipyard to Flamiston 3, ultimate vacation destination for the well-off. Simple job, 4.5 days total. The trip had gone smoothly. We were all feeling good about the contract. Boy, we were even considering converting the Crotch to a luxury passenger vessel. Me mate and I never did have Armani Slona, so we decided we would take some shore leave and explore one of the less expensive Flamiston moons after the contract was fulfilled. She loved the mountains and the trees. Hoy. And good gonna viva, did she love the wind. Well, I can never understand that. I would tell her to go stand in front of the atmosphere recyclers if she wanted a fur blown back. I was such a bloody arse. We were just unfolded in the Flamiston system. On time, maybe a little ahead of schedule. Ensign Dumea, the scanner operator, called out, "Contact, aft, port, and starboard." Right as the first torpedoes hit, main engine exploded the next instant. I ordered full power to auxiliary engines. And then, oh, I saw it. We'd all heard about it. Anyone doing anything near Palm Bay had. But it was always a friend of a friend or some nonsense like that. But sure enough, right there, not 50 kilometers from the Crotch, was the biggest, blackest, meanest looking shadow spawn. The Wishbone, flagship of the Palm Bay Pirates. By the time I'd got over me astonishment, it was too late. It fired one volley, tore through the ship, destroying so much. Systems began failing. Another volley, but I don't remember it hitting. The concussion from the blast was so great, it blew out all the hatches midship and knocked many of the passengers unconscious. Those were the lucky ones. Those that were unconscious before being blown out into space. I came to at the helm, not knowing how much time had passed. Emergency life support system seemed to be the only thing working. The passive viewing monitor was still intact, and from what I could tell, there were no pirates. Then, we saw the aft section of the Crotch drift by in the PVM.
whole chore damn thing happens so fast. No time for a bloody distress call. We were hoping that after being overdue, they'd come looking for us. Turned out there had been some sort of mix-up, and there was no record that we'd been subcontracted to take those passengers. They weren't even expecting them. 5 days later, an executive from UCIC Freighters was leaving the Flamiston system. She saw the wreckage and reported it.
And your mate?
She was in the aft section, in the classroom. It was going to be a short day. The attack happened at 0800, right as school started. She would have been at the front of the class, standing by her desk.
Good morning, class. Take your seats. I know you're all excited, but there's still time for learning.
She was going to talk about the weather that day, and the wind.
Oh, man! Cheap ale!
Serious? I was trying to hold it in.
Good Conaviva. What do you eat, Tony?
That was a smelly wind.
Yeah. I'd only heard what was reported on the nets and rumors about what happened to the crotch.
Stupid parrots.
They didn't even try to board the crotch.
Destroying things and killing people for no reasons?
Seems such a waste.
The thing is dense, Max.
Okay, I'll call the cap. Hey, Cap, the computer has signaled its completion.
All right, Mark. I'm on my way.
Hey, Hulu, did you hear?
Indeed, I did, Mark. I am most curious to hear this message.
Same here. And hey, yo, the listeners will find out the same time we do.
You really don't know how physics works, do you, Max? Captains, the code thingies is dense.
Oh, thank you, Tony.
What does it say, Cap?
Action stations, no.
Repairings for the duties, captains.
We need to go dark right now. Power down all non-essential systems.
Hey, captains! Hey,
This is www.patreon.com/theoutquickscrew. Blah, blah, chich. Blah, chich. Chop.
The Adventures of the Awkward Screw is written and produced by Michael Curtis and Tim Rawmakers. Music, At the Stroke of Midnight by Moments, and Lacuna by Gold Coast, both via soundstripe.com. Anju's Mate is voiced by Alita Rodriguez. Ensign Tomeya is voiced by Joseph Rawmakers. The Captain and Mark are voiced by Jack Taradas. Halunt is voiced by Tim Rawmakers. And Tony is voiced by Michael Curtis. Visit theawkwardscrew.com for more. A part of the Odd Audio Network.
Oh, ho, ho, yo, ho, burn, yo, ho, yo, that was a good one, Mark.